Gemara says Shlosha Tzrichim Rachamim. This is on Daf Nun Hayim and Aleph. Three people, because of their special category, their special status, require Rachamim. They need to put forth supplications to Hashem. Melech Tov, Shana Tova, V'Chalom Tov. So the Marsha asks the following. We have a principle that Hakol Bidei Shamayim, everything is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore everything requires Bakoshas Rachamim. What's special, what's unique about these three categories? And he says the following. That these three categories need Rachamim because at the beginning of the year, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us for the entire year to come, and we want to get a Shana Tova, we need Rachamim. That's very unique, because that's kolel, almost everything that's going to happen in the year to come. With regard to a melech, then Yom Ze Miyuchad Lahodos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Melech Malchi Amlochi, Malkeinonu Omrim Bo, HaMelech HaKadosh, HaMelech HaMishpat, Gzeres Malchios, Bo Bayom. In other words, the day of Rosh Hashanah is the day of Malchios. Right, we declare Hashem Melech, and we have to praise Hashem because He's the Melech. We say HaMelech HaKadosh during these days, HaMelech HaMishpat, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will decree for the year to come what's called Gzeres Malchios, which means that Malchus has two parts to it. There's Malchus up in Shamayim, that's the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he has Famal Yishal Mala, and then there's Keneged Malchus Durakia, we have Malchus the Arrow, we have Malchus down on this earth. On that day in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes the Melech over the whole world, then that will determine also the Melech Tov. In other words, we're asking Hashem on this day of Rosh Hashanah for the year to come to be blessed with a Melech Tov, just like you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are established and appointed or coronated as the king on this day of Rosh Hashanah. We know that there will be a Melech chosen down here on this earth, because Malchus Durakia and Malchus Diara are two corresponding mirror images, one of the other. Now what about Chalom Tov? On Rosh Hashanah, which is the most emistic day, meaning the emes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu really comes to fore on Rosh Hashanah, on that day, we should be praying for a Chalom Tov.
You give me a shift.
Now, in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, it says that we eat an apple dipped in honey on Rosh Hashanah, and we ask Hashem Tischadish Olenu Shana Mesuka, that God should bring about a sweet year for us. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that there is a minhag to eat an apple with dvash, and then we recite Tischadish Olenu Shana Tova Mesuka. The Levush writes that the minhag in Ashkenaz is that we take a slice of our challah, of our bread, and we dip it into honey. Tehei Hashana Ba'aleinu Mesuka V'Tova Lanu. And it's possible that this minog to say Tischai Shalenu Shana Tova Mesuka is because the Shana Tova needs rachamim. It needs a special supplication, special tefillah and prayer that this year coming to be will be a sweet year. And that's based on the Marsha, who says that these three things need, at the beginning of the year, Bakoshas Rachamim Shetachadish Aleinu Shana Tova. So it's a great opportunity on Rosh Hashanah to ask Hashem for a good year, for good dreams, and for a good king. And in Shulchan Aruch it says that in the name of the Ramah, that the Noagim, there is a minhag that everyone says to his friend, Shana Tova Tikosev. And perhaps that means that I am not only being mispal for myself on Rosh Hashanah, I'm also being mispal on behalf of my friend, that he should be zochet to a Shana Tova, and it's all determined at the beginning of the year for the year to come. The Marsha asks the following kasha. After all, why are we focused on these three things? And maybe it's impossible to mivakesh rachem al chaveru shehei tov, because hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyira shamayim. Every person has his own freedom of choice. But with regard to a melech, freedom of choice is very limited, because lev ha-melech biyad Hashem. And therefore, we can be mevakesh rachamim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that God should plant in the heart of a king just tova, just goodness. What about a melech akum? What about a goyish melech? Do we say that he too is libo biyad Hashem, he has no freedom of choice? Or is it only a melech b'Yisrael that has libo biyad Hashem? Meaning, if the lev of an akum is independent, even though he's a melech, then it seems almost futile to pray to Hashem that the melech should have a tova, should have a goodness, because the melech has to make his own choice and he has freedom of choice. But in a melech Yisrael, who's libo biyad Hashem, therefore we pray to Hashem. The Alshich in Sefer Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar claims that there's no HaKadosh Baruch Hu who could save Daniel from his clutches. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu yochol lahatzil miyado kevin shubal bechira. As if to say that Nebuchadnezzar says that you can't be saved, Daniel, because I have the freedom of choice, which I can exercise, and I could destroy you. And the three friends of Daniel stand up and they respond, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Shalibo biyad Hashem. Why? Because Lev Malachim biyad Hashem. You, Nebuchadnezzar, think that you have freedom of choice. You can do whatever you want. You don't. Your heart is in the hands of God. So we see clearly from this Alshich that even in the case of a Melech Akum, it's Libo biyad Hashem. We find something similar in the Meshech Chochma, in Parsha Shoftim, that Melech Akum is Libo Biyad Hashem. And that's how the Meshech Chochma interprets that Rabbeinu HaKadosh says Tantaninos in the Yerushalmi Megillah, Deshodar Minarta Lebei Knista Baruch Hashem Asher Nosan Belibo, that this Antoninus did something good on behalf of the Jewish people in the Beis HaKnesses, and Rebbe praised Hashem Asher Nosan Belibo. The Asher Nosan Belibo, the way it's formulated as the blessing of Rebbe Tantaninus, indicates that Libo, even the Lev of Antoninus as the Emperor of Rome, he too is Biyad Hashem. But all this is problematic when we compare it to the Ralbag and the Malbim. They write that Lev Melech Biyad Hashem Hu Rak Be'inyone HaKlal B'Meshiyase Midivrei HaMalchus. But private decisions, Pulos HaMachshavos HaMelech She'enom Midvar Malchus, that's not within the purview of Yad Hashem. But rather, he's an individual and he has freedom of choice. Now, Antoninus made a decision to send a menorah to light up the Beis HaKnesses. That wasn't Divrei Malchus. That wasn't as a king. It was just as a personal, private person. He felt for the Jewish cause and for the synagogue of Israel. In that case, it's a little bit problematic that Rebbe, according to Yerushalmi, blessed him by saying, Baruch Hashem Asher Nosan Belibo. It's not really Nosan Belibo if he made this decision. But perhaps the answer is that anything that Antoninus did, any gesture that he of warmth, and when he stretched out his hand for the Jewish nation, for the Jewish people, for the Jewish community, for their synagogues, that itself is a reflection of the Malchus, of the attitude of the Malchus towards the Jewish people and their community. How do we know, asks the Gemara, that we need a special prayer for a Shana Tova, for a good year? And the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, Tomid Eini Hashem Elokecha Bobi Reshis Hashana V'Yad Acharis Hashana. So Marsha asks the following kasha. Everything needs rachamim and tefillah. Why are we singling out a Shana Tova, as we discussed earlier? Perhaps we can explain this based on the insight of the Avnei Elio on the Seder HaTefillah, that Birchas HaShonim, which is the ninth bracha, where we ask for Parnasa, Ein donin es ha'odom elfi maisav sheba osa shah. On the one hand, we understand that God judges the person based on what he's holding at that moment in time. So for example, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides on Rosh Hashanah that there'll be rov gishamim, that there'll be plenty of rain, or there'll be an ample amount of rain, then HaKol Charedim L'Dvar Hashem, everyone is excited about the decision of God. The Acher Kach Moridim, but later on it could be that God will decide to lower the amount of volume of rain, Lefi Maseyim, based on the actions of the people. And therefore, the year is called Shana, Shin Nun He, Yomim Hashana Mishtana Lefi Maseyim. So we read the word Shana as a notrikun, as Shana Mishtana Lefi Maseyim. Im ha'olam yardim, if the nations of the world go down, then every day brings its, unfortunately, its klola, and it gets worse by the day. But lehefach, if a person overcomes all the temptations, he faces all his challenges, then he'll get an extra bracha on each day. So that's what the word shana means, that nishtana miyom liyom, it changes from day to day. And it could be for the better or for the opposite. And therefore we mispalel, we say in the bracha, in the ninth bracha of Shmon Esrei, Uberech Shanasenu Kashanim Atovos. Just like in those years, Shanishtanu Yom Yom Litova, every day was better than the day before, we ask Hashem that He should bless us with Shanim Tovim, with a year that every day of that year should get better than the one before it. And therefore, when we say that Shana Tova needs rachamim, what we're saying is that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah gave the decree that this would be a good year, we still need rachamim for the entire year, because the din of Rosh Hashanah is judged according to the level of the masim of that hour. But we don't know what's going to be, what's going to change on a daily basis, for the good or for the bad. And for that, we pray the entire year that we should have a Shana Tova. The prayers of Rosh Hashanah on that day are not sufficient. What else needs constant prayer? Chalom Tov, Dichsiv Atachlimeni Utchayeni. And once again, we come back to the Marsha. Why do we need a special prayer for Chalom Tov when we need a prayer for everything? The Gemara says later on, Hayman dechazi chalom v'lo yoda maihi. If a person had a dream and he doesn't know the nature, the meaning of the dream, the message of the dream, Lekum kame kahana, when the Kohanim get up to duchin, he should be mispalel, Im tovim em chazkem v'amtsem kechalomoso shal Yosef HaTzadik. Please God, strengthen these good dreams like the dreams of Yosef HaTzadik. The Marsha explains that the chalomos gamim humarit tov efshe shishapech al yedei pisaron l'ro. In other words, the dream itself depends upon its interpretation. And if it gets an interpretation that's negative, that's ominous, then that's going to be scary. And therefore, imara hachalomu tov, even though what you saw was a good vision about something great that was going to occur, but nevertheless it needs chizuk. Why? Because otherwise there's always the fear, there's always the possibility she is hafchu l'ra, it will be converted to evil. But make it like the chalomos shel Yosef HaTzadik that were fulfilled l'tova, that the brothers came down and they settled in Mitzrayim, they bowed down to him, etc., etc. Lonus kaimu l'ra'a kimachsheves achav l'fot shel l'ra'a. The brothers did not like the dreams of Yosef. They were very negative about the dreams, and maybe they gave it a bad interpretation. But we ask Hashem that since He protected Yosef and his dreams, He should do the same for our dreams, and protect them when they're good dreams from falling down, down, down. And therefore, when the Gemara says Chalom Tov, even though it's a Chalom Tov, it nevertheless needs tefillah, needs bakasha, because Yochel L'sapech L'ro'ah. If there's a bad interpretation, it could be converted and transformed into an ominous dream. And therefore we need rachamim, kidei she'yiskaymu l'tovav, lo yishafchu l'ro'ah, and should be like the chalomos of Yosef HaTzadik, she'yiskaymu l'tovav, lo yishafchu l'ro'ah, yidei machsheves ochiv, l'fotcho l'ro'ah. The Gemara says here on Daf Nun Hey that Shlosha Dvar Machriz Alem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bi'atzmo. There are three things that God Himself declares: Ve'eluhem Ra'av V'Sova U'Parnas Tov. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu make this declaration, this pronouncement, when no one is there to hear it? It's like the tree that fell in a forest. No one's there to hear the noise of the crash. But if we take a look at the end of Masechta Avos, it says, "V'chol yom v'yom bas kol yotzeis me'har chorev v'machrezes v'yomeres oylohem librios me'al bonus shel Torah." Says the Maral Miprag, why does the bas kol go out when no one is there to hear it? And he answers, "The afagav diena bas kol nishma hu murgosh v'osa roshem bi'olam la'osam she'enam oskim b'Torah." This voice, this heavenly voice, daily, which castigates the Jewish people, even though it's not heard by the people who have to hear it, but nevertheless there's argosha. It somehow makes an impact. And that's called afagav de'iu lo shamalei le'oso baskol mazle shamalei. There's an inner spirit in a person called a mazel, and that mazel is tuned in, is tapped in to the baskol, even if he himself is not tuned in. And hopefully the mazel bimachrioso el Torah, the mazel will use this baskel to inspire the person towards Torah. And therefore we can go back to our Gemara when HaKadosh Baruch Hu pronounces every day about the Ra'av, about the Sova, about the Parnas Tov, even though we don't hear his proclamation, but nevertheless it makes an impact on the world, even though we don't hear it. And hopefully, we hope and pray that that Baskol will have an impact in a positive way on our world. Where do we know Parnas Tov? The Gemara says, "Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe limor ra'o ra'isi karasi re'ei karasi b'shem b'tzalel." The Gemara says in Tainis, there were Gimel Parnasim, great Parnasim. These were the leaders that held up the people, the pillars of our nation. The Elohim, who were these three great pillars of our nation? Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. So the Ein Yaakov says, why were they called Parnasim Tovim? Because through them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave certain Tovos to Klal Yisrael, certain Matanos, special Matanos, through Moshe, through Aaron, and Miriam. Miriam, of course, is the Be'er Shel Miriam. Moshe got the Man, and Aaron, the Anani Yaakov. These were the great gifts in this world that we received due to the merit of these three great Parnasim. Matanos Elu were given in this world, but there are also Matanos that were given in Olam Haba. And therefore here too, when the Gemara says, based on this Pasuk, that God calls Bezalel by his name, meaning he called him a Parnas Tov, because through Bezalel we have the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan. That Mishkan represents all of Klal Yisrael, all the Tovos of Klal Yisrael in this world and in the next. That makes Bezalel a great conduit, a great Parnas, to bring down from Shemayim all the goodness, not only in this world, but in the next as well. Now, there seems to be a little bit of a discrepancy about the sequence of building the Mishkan, a discrepancy between Moshe and Bezalel. The Gemara says that Omar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, Moshe Hagon Olecha B'Tzalel, meaning Moshe, this is the right man for the job, and you shall lie on B'Tzalel. And according to the Gemara here, it seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not make this statement, but rather it was a question. You put a question mark. It's not Hagun Olecha B'Tzalel, but Hagun Olecha B'Tzalel, with that inflection. And this is very difficult. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to ask Moshe whether it's Hagun Olecha, whether he, B'Tzalel, is the right man in your eyes? It's Hagun Lo, it's appropriate for you. Why not just ask Klal Yisrael? If Klal Yisrael are in favor, then they'll vote B'Tzalel in. Why do we have to get Moshe Rabbeinu's agreement, his consent, to define B'Tzalel and describe him as Hagun Olecha? To answer this question, we look at Parshas Vayakel in the Balei HaTosfos. B'Shosha Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, when God gave the command to Moshe, Amalecha San Mishkan, Moshe got the impression that it was his responsibility to build the Mishkan from A to Z. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo, k'mo sha'omad, not the way you thought of it. Ela oso tzadik, he pointed to a tzaddik, shenera gala egel, dainu chur, yovo ben bino, his grandson should come, and he should build the Mishkan, and that Mishkan will be mechaper on the maisa of the egel. Why? Because it's coming through chur, not actually chur, but through chur's grandson. And chur was the one who was killed because of the maisa egel. Says the Tosfos, Zeu ma shomer HaKadosh Baruch Hu re'ei karasi b'shem. His name is the name of Chur, meaning he is the grandson of Chur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu now turns to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Moshe Rabbeinu thought that he would build the Mishkan himself. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to get him on board and gain the consent of Moshe Rabbeinu that B'Tzalel is the right man for the job. And furthermore, the Tanchuma says in Parshas Pekudei that Moshe was very upset. Al shelo nishtatef in Bnei Yisrael b'melechas haMishkan. He himself did not bring any contribution to the building of the Mishkan. It was all contributed by Bnei Yisrael. The melacha itself was done by B'Tzalel. Moshe gets no part in the building of the Mishkan, neither through Nedive. What does it say there? Mikol Isha Sheyidvenu Libo, meaning the gifts and the contributions that come from the goodness of the heart, nor the building of the Meleches HaMishkan itself, that was given over to B'Tzalel. He's therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to ask Moshe Rabbeinu for his consent. Is it acceptable to you, Moshe, that B'Tzalel should make the Mishkan, even though you will not have any chelek in the building of the Mishkan? Moshe Rabbeinu, as we said before, has a different understanding than B'Tzalel about the building of the Mishkan. According to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Aron and the Kelim should be created before the Mishkan. The Mishkan is going to house the Aron and the Kelim, so that Amalo Moshe Rabbeinu min hagu shalom or the bol bayis. Why is it that B'Tzalel insists that first we build the Kelim and then we build the Mishkan? Moshe says the logic compels us to do the opposite. First you build a house and then you bring the Kelim inside the house. And now you're telling me that B'Tzalel is right, they should first make the Aron and the Kelim and then only the Mishkan at the end of the process, the bayis. Kelim shani ose le'echanach nisan. If you're going to make the kelim like you think, again, I just want to make sure I got the shitos right. Moshe Rabbeinu says that first you should build the bayis, correct? Because the logic compels us to build a bayis. If you're going to make the kelim, where do the kelim go if you don't have a bayis? First you build a bayis, and then afterwards you can build the kelim, bring him into the bayis. And B'Tzalel said the opposite. that first we're going to build the Kelim. The Rambam, to try to get an insight into this vikuach, this debate between Moshe and Bezalel, let's look at the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs, Mitzvah Chav. The Rambam says, Shetzivonu livnos beis habechira, la'avoda. So the purpose of building the Beis HaMikdash is for the Avodas HaKorbanos. And the Rambam adds in Sefer HaMitzvahs, that kvar biyarnu shezeh klal kol minim rabim shem ha-menorah v'ashulcham v'mizbeach v'zulosam kula michelke ha-migdash v'akol yikari migdash. So every single part of the migdash is called part of the migdash. Every single keli is there and it will serve a function and it's part of the migdash. And the Ramban is a little bit put off by the Rambam. Why? He says, "Lo huchshar b'yene atam shekosavu Rav Shomer sheim chalokim michelke hamigdash." I don't understand. I can't agree with the Rambam defining the kelim as chelik michelke hamigdash. Einach kelim chelik min abatim. He used the word batim in plural because he's referring to all the various bate mikdashos and mishkanos. Avalim shtayim. The Rambam should count two separate mitzvahs. One mitzvah is to build the bayis, another mitzvah is to build the kelim. So for example, one of the kelim is the menorah. But there's a separate mitzvah to build the bayis. U'makrivim b'bayis alfa pisha ein mizbeach. So there's a separate mitzvah, an independent mitzvah of bayis that could apply even without the kelim. Why does the Rambam combine the migdash itself and its building together with the kelim and creating the kelim as one mitzvah? That's the Ramban's kasha on the Rambam. In any event, before we defend the Rambam, let's just point out that according to the Rambam, menorah, shulchan, mizbech, it's all chelik michelke amigdash, it's all included in one mitzvah vasuli migdash. The Ramban holds that the kelim themselves are not an integral part of one great whole called the migdash. There are two different mitzvahs. Mipneish, and it's tavol asum lechem lifnei Hashem tamid. We have the lechem aponim. It's tzivo son of behechsher avoda zos shehi losum osam b'shulchan ukshi yistar lanu shetehei adlokim menorah vehem him tashmishei kedusha. So Rabban holds that the kelim are not the migdash itself. The Torah just commands us that in order to fulfill the lechem aponim, for example, we need the shulchan. In order to fulfill the mitzvah of hadlakas ha-menorah, we need the menorah. So let's see if we could take this machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban as to whether kelim or chelik min hamikdash, a kelim is a separate entity, and plug it into the machlokas between between Moshe Rabbeinu and Bezalel. Moshe Rabbeinu holds like the Ramban that the kelim are not a chelik of the mikdash itself. There are two mitzvahs here, and they stand independent one of the other. One is to build the kelim, the other is to build the mikdash. We should start therefore with the kelim. Why? Because they have more chashivus than the mishkan. I mean, that has to be proven. But if you'll accept right now, axiomatic, that the kelim have more chashivus than the mishkan, then we start by building the kelim. And this could be the sheet of Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, Bezalel says, what do you mean build the kelim? You have to have a place to put the kelim, so you have to build the bayis first. But Moshe Rabbeinu was compelled to start with the kelim. Why? Because they had a greater chashivus than the Mishkan itself. How do you see that the kelim are more chashiv than the Mishkan? Because we see that there's Masa B'nei Gershon, Masa B'nei Merari. The kelim is the masa b'nei kohos, and the pasuk says in Bamidbar v'zos avodas b'nei kohos, etc. Bol moed b'kodesh kadosh. So the mikdash is in a sense secondary to the kelim, correct? Because you have these three branches of the Levim, of Shevet Levi, and we have the masa of B'nai Kos. B'nai Kos are in charge of the kelim. And if I'm not mistaken, they had to carry the Aron. Zos avodas b'nei kohos b'ol moed kodesh hakadoshim. Rashi says that the carrying of the Aron and the Shulchan of Menorah and the Mizbachos is considered Mekudah Shebekulah. That is the highest sanctity. So Bezalel turns to Moshe Rabbeinu and he says, no, you're assuming that Kelim is a separate independent mitzvah and Kelim is even greater than the Mishkan, as we saw with regard to the Levium who are carrying the Kelim, and that's considered Mekudah Shebekulah. Says Vitzal Nein, the Kelim is not a separate independent mitzvah. There's one mitzvah. Kelim are included under the greater whole of the mitzvah of Yasuli Migdash. They are an integral part of the Beis HaMikdash. And the name Migdash is Chal, not just on the Binyan HaMikdash, but also on the Kelim as well. One integral part. Oh, if it's part of the Migdash, then we should start by building the bayis first and then the kelim, because then the Migdash is the, you know, the overall umbrella mitzvah, and the kelim is to flesh out the mitzvah of building the Migdash. So we should start with the bayis and then build the kelim. And this is what Bezalel said to Moshe Rabbeinu, min hogo shel olam lasos tchila bayis v'akach besim kelim b'socham. You built a house for Dira, but you can't live in the house without the Kelim. So the purpose of the Kelim is to make the bayis into an inhabitable bayis. So therefore it makes sense that you start by building the bayis and then you create the Kelim that are tzarchei bayis. They function on behalf of the bayis, but you can't have Kelim unless you have a bayis. And Migdash, even though the Migdash was not built as a base dira, but it's built as a dira l'shechina. As we said in Divrei Hayomim, Umi yatzar koach livnos lo bayis, ki hashamayim, ushmei hashamayim, lo yichalkalu, umi ani asher evna lo bayis, ki im lahakti lefonov. So we see that the base HaMigdash was not created as a base dira for the Shekhinah, but rather as a place where we makdir the karbonos lifnei Hashem. But nevertheless, the kelim are considered an integral part of the Migdash. They're coming with tzorach mitzvahs v'yosuli Migdash. So if that be the case, it's all one mitzvah, and the kelim are subservient, or they function on behalf of the bayis, then it would make sense that we would start by building the bayis and then get to the kelim. Masha'en came, the Moshe Rabbeinu holds like the shita of the Rambam, that we have two independent mitzvahs. And when you compare those two mitzvahs, one mitzvah to build a kelim and one mitzvah to build the structure of the Migdash, the mitzvah of creating the kelim is even greater than the mitzvah of building the Migdash itself. That's only according to the shita of Moshe Rabbeinu, that these are two separate mitzvahs, which later on is going to be the shita of the Rambam. But if you hold that these two are part of one whole, that the Kedushas Kelim is part and parcel of the Kedushas Migdash, then we understand Bezalel, because Bezalel is claiming that the Kelim are subservient, they're secondary to the Migdash. They are part of the Migdash because it's all one entity. But nevertheless, they are greater than the Migdash itself. The Kelim supersede the Migdash. And the mitzvah of building the Kelim is first, not only first in sequence, but first because it's greater in significance. So Moshe Rabbeinu holds that these are two separate entities, and the Kelim against more chashivas, therefore we should be creating the Kelim first. Bezalel Shitasa holds, like the Rabban, that it's only one mitzvah. And if it's only one mitzvah, then the kelim are subservient, they're secondary to the Migdash. First build the Migdash, and then build the kelim. V'shamati mimoron, v'shem moron agriz, da'ramam sover, she'akelim mechlal ha-Migdash. Why does the Rambam hold that it's one single mitzvah of building the Migdash and its kelim? V'vdeisha sover, that mitzvah livnos beis ha-bechira la'avod. So the purpose, says the Rambam, of building the Beis HaMikdash for the Avodas HaKorbanos. If that be the case, if the whole purpose of the Mikdash is Korbanos, then I need the Mizbechos, the Shulchan, I need the menorah, all the facets of the Avoda. But the Ramban al Torah holds at the beginning of Parshas Truma that the Iker Mikdash is Hashvas HaShchina. And therefore the mitzvah of Kalim, which is for the purpose of Avoda, is not part and parcel of the Mikdash itself. Let's see if we can fit in one more paragraph. Because I see the clock is moving ahead. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos mentions the Kalim, but he doesn't mention the Aron. He omits the Aron. And he's talking about the mitzvah of Yasuli Mikdash. Why does he leave out the Aron? In the beginning of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, he enumerates a list of 7 Kalim that are included in the Mikdash and included in the mitzvah of Yasuli Mikdash, but he leaves Aron, the building of the Aron is left out. So the Brisker Rav says that the Rambam holds that Aron is not included in the mitzvah of Mikdash. The mitzvah is V'yosuli Mikdash, and the Aron is for the purpose of the Luchos. In other words, the Mikdash itself is built for the sake of everything that goes on in the Mikdash and all the Kalim that it can be used therein, but the Aron is meant to serve a different function entirely. It's for the Luchos. And if that be the case, then based on everything we said, and Bezalel was the one who was in favor of building the Kalim first, correct? Just one second. One second, I'm sorry, I always lose the cheshbon here. Just one second. Right, so Moshe Rabbeinu said to build the Kalim first, right? Aaron said, it's not Minhag Shalom. First you have to build the Bayis, and then you build the Kalim. Otherwise, where are you going to take the Kalim? Yeah, that makes sense, because we said that according to Bezalel, there's only one mitzvah, the mitzvah of Mikdash, and the Kalim are secondary to the mitzvah of Mikdash. But that's only true for all the Kalim, with the exception of the Aaron. So the Bezalel should have been Moda, that at least in the case of the Aaron, Moshe Rabbeinu is right, that the Aaron should be made first. Now, the balance of this essay, which we don't have time for now, it goes on for another page and a half, is to try to answer this question. That even though the Aron is there to house the Shtei Luchos HaBris, it's not really from the Klei HaMishkan, but nevertheless it did function in terms of the Mishkan. It generated a certain Kedushas Mishkan. So that would probably help us answer this question. But for that, we'll need a little bit more time. Maybe we'll make a note of where we got up to, and we can try to finish this on another occasion. Okay, then?